Coming up on Tech News Today, Yahoo wants to buy Tumblr, Congress targets Google Glass, but hey, apps and the CW coming to Apple TV. All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, May 17th, 2013. Tech News Today is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use offer code TNT5. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zakhtar.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show. We keep you up to date on the most important stories in the tech world, starting each time with the top 10 stories of the day in the news feed. Google announced six app partners coming to Google Glass at Google I.O. Thursday. Facebook, Twitter, CNN, Elle, Tumblr, and Evernote will provide the first examples of apps built with the Glass Developers Kit. Examples were shown at a developer session discussing best practices for creating apps for Glass.
All Things D and now Adweek are both reporting rumors of a possible deal between Tumblr and Yahoo, with the latter buying the former, with Yahoo CEO Marissa Meyer having serious talks with the social network. Although separate rumors have pointed to Facebook possibly buying Tumblr. So, okay, who's next? Google, Apple,
Pinterest.
Pinterest will buy
Barack Obama. Somebody's going to buy a Tumblr, I think, at some point.
It could be Samsung, because Samsung is suffering an embarrassment of riches, because the company has already sold 10 million Galaxy S4 units. Speaking to the Korea Times, Samsung said that the S4 is the company's fastest-selling smartphone in the company's history. It took that S3 50 whole days to hit the 10 million mark. The S4 will reach 10 million within a month of its release.
The Financial Times and its Twitter account were hacked today. The Financial Times blog's webpage had a message hacked by the Syrian Electronic Army, and similar messages were posted to various FT Twitter accounts. A spokeswoman from the Financial Times told The Telegraph that the organization was working to resolve the problems as quickly as possible.
Hey guys, how many games in development do you think EA has for Nintendo's Wii U console?
At least 12.
Six, the answer 10. Is... zero. Oh. Zero games. EA is a launch partner for the Wii U, but says it has no developers working on future titles at this time, which is really not great news for Nintendo, especially today, in the midst of a marketing strategy to boost interest in the Wii U.
If you got launch partners like that, who needs launch enemies?
Yeah.
If you own Apple's little set-top box, the Apple TV, you're in for a new app from the CW network. The CW announced it will bring full episodes of its shows to the Apple TV via an ad-supported app. When is this happening? No specific date was mentioned, only that this will happen this year.
That'll be very good for hosts of Bite Club. In advance of appearing before a Senate committee to discuss Apple's offshore cash supply and approach to taxes, Apple CEO Tim Cook gave an interview to Politico. Cook expanded on his December remarks that Apple will build a product in the United States. He said the product will be an iteration of an existing Mac assembled with parts made in the states of Arizona, Texas, Illinois, Florida, and Kentucky.
As Google Glass's Explorer Edition continues to surprise and delight, Congress is finally getting scared. The Congressional Bipartisan Privacy Caucus today wrote a letter to CEO Larry Page asking him to clear up once and for all whether this new technology could infringe on the privacy of the average American, because Google Glass has not yet been released and we are uncertain of Google's plans to incorporate privacy protections into the device. That's what the letter reads, as well as there are still a number of unanswered questions that we share.
Maybe one of those questions is, how do I send things to people from Pinterest? Well, here's your answer, Congress. Pinterest added a send button to pins on Thursday, allowing users to forward a pin to Pinterest connections. Facebook friends, and email contacts can also get these pins. You'll also get notifications if your contacts reply, like, or comment on that picture, or repin them even. Say you've got a picture of the world's largest rubber duck you sent to them. You'll know what they do with it. This follows a Wednesday feature that warns users if they're about to create a duplicate pin.
Google Glass has been hacked to run Ubuntu at Google I.O. Google employees demonstrated how to root Google Glass and then run Ubuntu on it. Glass was rooted by pushing some Android packages to the device using ADB. That's the Android debug bridge. Glass was then paired with a keyboard and trackpad via Bluetooth. From there, the bootloader was unlocked. After flashing a new boot image, the user would gain root. Some steps later, Ubuntu on your face.
Yeah, that's our title. Ubuntu on your face. This episode of Tech News Today, on a very serious note, is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. You'll find the perfect image or video for your creative project. Your project doesn't have to be serious. You can find funny videos there. You can find sad videos, serious videos, mad videos, images, all of that, because they have a search engine that can search by emotion. That's right. Their search engine can drill down by all kinds of things. Asset type, color. They have a spectrum tool that lets you search by the color spectrum. I'm going to be putting up a new episode of It's a Thing later today. First thing I'm going to do is come up with a crazy title about the stuff we talk about. And the second thing I'm going to do is put that title into Shutterstock. And Shutterstock's going to give me the perfect image because they never fail me on that. I can also save those images if I do have like several choices. Sometimes I do. I can put them in a light box and then share that light box with my co-host, Molly Wood. And she can look at it and go, I like that one there. Light boxes allow you to collaborate anytime, share them with other team members. They have an award-winning iPad app too. If you're like, I'm on an iPad, Tom, how do I search through these? Use that app. Search on the go. Use it to display images during presentations even. It's an amazing service. They have offices located more than a dozen countries, Germany, China, Italy, Brazil, Belgium, all over the place, a truly global marketplace, adding 10,000 images a day, and they approve each and every one. They review them to make sure that these are great, and they have tons of pro photographers, pro videographers in there. Go try Shutterstock today. Sign up for a free account. Don't need to give them a credit card to sign out and try the account. Just start one up. Begin using Shutterstock to help imagine what your next project could be like. Save some of your favorite images to a light box to review later. And then, once you decide to purchase, use offer code TNT5. Remember that, because you're going to get 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com for 30% off new accounts. Use offer code TNT5. And we thank Shutterstock for their support of Tech News Today. It's Friday, and joining us today, Darren Kitchen is off on his Hack Across America tour now, but Shannon Moore's from Hack 5, and also, of course, from Twits Before You Buy joins us. Thanks for keeping the Hack 5-ness consistent, Shannon.
Anytime. I'm happy to help. Thanks, Tom.
We're going to have you on Frame Rate on Monday, too.
Yes, we are. I'm so excited.
Bookend your weekend with Shannon. Yes. and then watch Before You Buy over the weekend. Perfect. And Hack 5. Done. Also joining us, we did this with Justin Robert Young a couple weeks ago. Len Peralta, internet cartoonist at lenperalta.com. And, of course, the illustrator on the 10-State comic that I'm working on with him is joining us. And, Len, we're going to try this again. We're going to have you illustrate the stories as we discuss them.
I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I think this is – I think I'm ready. I'm ready to illustrate.
You're tanned, you're rested, you're ready.
I'm very tan, and I am rested. And I'm well fed as well.
How can you not?
Thank you for asking.
Well, so you'll just be illustrating. We'll be seeing your illustrations. Of course, pop in on the conversation anytime you want. At the end of the show, for the video viewers, we'll pop through those illustrations as well. But let's get started talking about our first discussion story of the day, the whole Marissa Meyer Yahoo Tumblr love circle.
Something like that. Multiple reports are saying that Yahoo is interested in acquiring Tumblr. The reports are from All Things D, Adweek, and GigaOm. According to the reports, Yahoo is in serious talks to acquire Tumblr, and the deal could reach as much as $1 billion. Now, GigaOm is saying that Yahoo's New York-based corporate developers team is leading the process. All Things D says that Marissa Meyer has been watching Tumblr since her days in Google, and she's actually had a meeting with Tumblr CEO and founder David Karp. Now, Tumblr just started running ads on users' dashboards, and the company told Forbes it generated $13 million in revenue last year and could do as much as $100 million this year. GigaOm sources, though, say that Facebook might swoop in because that's one of Yahoo's concerns, that Facebook could come in because they have a close relationship with the founder, David Karp. Sarah, what do you think about this deal with Yahoo? Does this make any sense, or could this make Tumblr incredibly uncool?
Well, what's interesting about this, first of all, the price does not surprise me at all. $1 billion. If Facebook can buy Instagram for $1 billion, Tumblr's been around, you know, it's you could almost call Tumblr one of the first social networks of the era that we're still in. You know, and it's continued to grow. It's extremely popular. And Tumblr is, you know, it's a blogging engine. It's a social network. It's sort of what Pinterest was before there was Pinterest. So it makes perfect sense for Yahoo to want to buy Tumblr. However, the whole Tumblr now just starting to monetize is interesting to me because David Karp, the founder, has sort of famously said for years, I'm not interested in advertising. That's just not what we do. And he kind of had to bend probably to investor pressure over the last year or so. Yahoo buys Tumblr. Tumblr changes a lot. I think that that's really clear.
Shannon, what do you think happens if Yahoo buys Tumblr? They get a ton of user-generated content there. Does that give Yahoo any advantage over any of these other search companies?
Well, to be honest, I haven't used Yahoo or Tumblr since the early 2000s, I believe. I really hope that Yahoo does purchase Tumblr because I think that it would incorporate something that Yahoo needs. They need a social network. They need something that a lot of people use. And while I don't use it, I think that Yahoo will hopefully change Tumblr a little bit to make it a little bit easier to use, maybe add in some more functionalities to it, because there's a lot that's missing from Tumblr that I would like.
Tom, do you think that Marissa Mayer's just building Google again? I mean, Google bought Blogger. They bought YouTube. There was all these reports about Yahoo going after Hulu and Daily Motion, now a blogging service. Do they need this kind of component?
Yeah, they need components. They need lots of components. They're missing all kinds of things. That's what people are always taking pot shots at Yahoo about, right? So absolutely need this and absolutely should leave it alone once they have it.
Really?
Let
you
Tumblr
think so?
Be Tumblr. Use the technology. Use the expertise to inform your own systems. Integrate it in wise partnerships, but do what Facebook's doing with Instagram so that you barely even know that Instagram is part of Facebook. You should even know that Tumblr is part of Yahoo. And in another way, maybe Yahoo should buy it just to keep it out of Facebook's hands, because if Facebook gets Tumblr, all of a sudden Facebook is becoming a conglomeration of services, which is very smart for Facebook. And that's what Yahoo needs to do as well. Yahoo needs to be able to say, we have other businesses that are profitable that we are in. We're not entirely reliant on one brand.
Then again, look at something like Flickr, right? Yahoo bought Flickr and basically left it too much alone, and Flickr lost all its users. Well, some of us are still members, but we don't go there very often anymore. It's a delicate balance, isn't it?
Yahoo's been integrating a lot of Flickr results in its search results. They were adding more tools to make it more cohesive with Yahoo in general since Myers showed up. So I'm kind of curious, if Tumblr became a part of Yahoo, what kind of search results you can get? Because if this is bubbling up socially in Tumblr, you'll have better search results with Yahoo. Even though Bing is powering their search, Yahoo still controls the presentation. So if they can bring in more Tumblr data and they have Flickr data, you can have a really powerful image search, really powerful user-generated information there. I think you combine that with Sumly, you have all of this potential for building, I guess, even user-generated news stories very quickly. So I'm just kind of curious, if Yahoo does do this, and to keep it out of the hands of Facebook, because Facebook seriously doesn't need this, but they could do it. Yahoo needs to make some major acquisition at some point, because it looks like Meyer just wants to take the money they have and buy something.
There's such a potential to monetize Tumblr. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tumblr is at the beginning, right? I mean, Yahoo can make a ton of money off of Tumblr. However, it could also ruin it in the process.
Yeah, and you make a good point about Flickr. You need to support while leaving alone, right? You can't, if you just leave it alone and let it molder, that's not good either. So it has to be the right balance. Let's talk about integration, balance, apps, and those apps that are coming to Google Glass.
Yeah, so I.O., after the keynote, I.O. kept on rolling. And during a session called Developing for Glass, Google announced some new partner apps. As Tom mentioned, we got the usual suspects. Facebook, Flickr, Evernote, Tumblr, New York Times, Path L Magazine? What? Fashion magazine?
We all saw that one coming, right?
It's like one of these things is not like
high fashion.
The first thing I thought of when I saw Google Glass was fashion.
Well, and it's interesting because you sort of go, well, what's that going to look like? Apparently, you know, according to the L developers, it's basically headlines. I mean, if you really like that magazine, it would be, here are some of the new headlines that you know, are live. Then you have the opportunity to dig deeper if you want to. It seems to be an strange fit for something that I need to see in my peripheral vision. But then you've got Twitter, where you're seeing your tweet stream. It's also is kind of interesting. Glass developer evangelist Timothy Jordan was talking about how Twitter would look, you know, in Google Glass, emphasize the direct message capabilities. That would be, you know, that's sort of a one-on-one thing rather than a Ayaz and I talking in a Twitter stream that Shannon and Tom could then see. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Evernote on Glass, that sort of makes sense. You know, you're taking notes. You've got quick access to notes that are in the cloud and you're able
and
to...
pictures. Yeah,
and able to, you know, to add and grab from there. I guess my question is, I mean, is it really necessary to recreate what seems like the same kind of apps that I'm using on a regular basis as an experience in Google Glass? What do you think, Shannon?
Well, I'm really interested about the functionality of some of these different apps. Like, my first question about the Twitter app was, I follow way too many people on Twitter, and I don't want to see every single notification up on my peripheral vision. I would like to be able to customize it.
I'll go ahead and confirm that. It's kind of a mess. When I got the Twitter app installed on Glass and started getting all the updates, it wasn't just the at replies. It was everything. And the weird thing about this, too, like when you think about all of these different apps doing, you know coming to the Glass platform, Glass platform has kind of a linear timeline that all this stuff appears on. Mm-hmm. So it gets crowded very quick. So if there's something at the end of that timeline and it's all, you know, suddenly pushed out of the way by the many updates you're getting through Facebook, the many updates you're getting through Twitter, it's really kind of difficult to get back to them. And even if you can on some of these things, there's not a whole lot you can do with them. Like you were talking about Elle, for example, giving you like maybe a headline or something, or maybe the New York Times giving you a headline. There's not a whole lot you can do with that. You get the headline. You can't necessarily open it in a browser on your Glass and scroll through it and interact with it. You kind of get the headline so you know it exists, but then what?
Yeah, what else are you going to do with it? Yeah. I think it would be best used just for maybe Twitter notifications for images that only a few selected people upload at certain times. So it's not while I'm driving on the road. So there's a lot of things that I can think about with Google Glass just from trying it on that one time, yours, Jason, that would worry me. And I really hope that they consider this when they start developing these.
Ayaz, if we've got sort of a... hey, full Twitter, and then a different kind of a Twitter for your Google Glass experience. Do you see the social networks themselves changing when we realize we maybe only need a third of what we're actually getting as far as information is concerned?
I think people might be thinking about more information at the beginning of their tweets and things like that, because if these apps definitely need to be reimagined for your eye. It's the idea of seeing a headline or seeing like a New York Times headline would make me want to grab my phone and then read up of what's going on, kind of getting an information stream there. I think that the idea is instead of foolishly trying to take a smartphone app and put it in your eye, that's not the real estate you're going to have. You can't possibly process all that information, and it could give you a headache. This is actually an actual issue right now with Google Glass, is that constantly doing this is causing some people headaches. But the idea is to get these notifications, and Evernote makes a lot of sense with this too, because when you want to take a note of something, you can do a voice dictation without bringing out your phone, or you're taking a picture of something that you're looking at for later. That seems to make a lot of sense. But for social networks and for news sources, I'm thinking information stream, kind of like a ticker, the way you'd have it on a television. That way you get the idea of what's going on. And if you want more information, you go to a better device for that, because this is not going to replace a phone or a watch or a computer.
You can customize it to do like a read later thing or something like that. That would be cool.
There you go. Read later for your... Yeah. That'd be perfect.
Read later for your Glass.
Or, I mean, you know, your Glass is synced up to your phone. That actually makes perfect sense, that if there's something with a headline... it syncs to your phone, so the minute you pull out your phone, there's the thing, because you selected on Glass that you wanted more information on.
And
that
at I.O., they mentioned that notifications are synced now. So if you did mark it on your Glass, at least your phone doesn't have a million notifications. Right. That makes a big difference, too, because Glass is running Android. Mm-hmm.
This is why I wish they had started with a limited number of app developers on a beta version of Google Glass with a Glass Developers Kit. Wait, that's exactly what they did. let's not lose sight of that. Yeah, you guys are totally right.
Absolutely.
But it's not like they're doing anything wrong, because this is how you figure out all this stuff that we're talking about, and how what works and what doesn't is what they're doing. So I think it's good that they're approaching it this way.
Good first steps. I agree.
Yeah, and starting with some stuff people will actually use and try out.
Yeah, as long as the price goes down.
On the other hand, it's also dangerous to your privacy. And Congress is looking out for you. A formal letter from the Congressional Bipartisan Privacy Caucus was sent to Google. They have posted it on the web. Joe Barton is one of the co-writers of the letter. He's got it up at his house, his house website, actually. Google has until June 14th to respond to their beta glasses that aren't even for sale yet. To eight concerns. Is Google going to prevent unintentionally collecting data about the user or non-user without consent? And they pointedly remind us of the Wi-Fi collecting that Google Street View cars did. Will Google proactively protect the privacy of non-users? How are they going to stop people from getting filmed who don't want to get filmed? Will facial recognition unveil personal information? Will any additions or refinements be made to Google's privacy policy? Are there safeguards on the stored data from Google Glass? Google Glass director Steve Lee actually addressed some of these in a session at I.O., saying from the beginning, the social implications of wearing glass have been at the top of their mind. And you have to speak or press a button to record. It's a social cue, so people should know if they're around you that you're doing something. And the display is always active so that the person wearing it knows what's happening when it's in use. And that they'll have the same data policies as all Google things. Although facial recognition not currently in the product plans. They might do it down the road. Maybe somebody with an app will do it, but they're not too worried about it. Now, I want to know if Congress is also sending similar letters to the makers of Recon. We mentioned them in the news fuse yesterday. Or Meta is getting a lot of attention today for their immersive glasses that actually like put a scrollable surface on a window you're looking at or create a virtual dog that you can play with. It's not like Google's the only one developing this stuff. Shannon, is Congress right to be being proactive here?
Yeah, definitely. I'm all about privacy. I mean, I do Hack 5 and ThreatWire, and the whole Google Street View car problem was a big deal for our ThreatWire conversations. And I do worry about Google Glass privacy just because, you know, we've seen the videos of people taking them in the bathrooms and taking photos. And we've seen, you know, the pictures that people post of themselves in the shower. And so I do want to have some way to tell when someone is wearing Google Glass that what's happening. Because if they decide to start taking a video before they step into the room with me, am I going to know that?
I think Google would say, like right now I'm recording this episode, that little light up there, Google would say, well, that tells you something's happening. So, you know, be careful. I just don't know if that light is enough. I mean, you know, it for the longest time with recording electronics, a little red light tells you that it's recording. Maybe exactly. That's what they need to add to it. I don't know.
Well, and honestly, having that big thing on your face is probably a good indicator that you might be using Google Glass.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Different than a phone. All of these privacy implications, and I don't disagree with you, Shannon. I think that these privacy implications do need to be addressed. But they were all there for phones with cameras in them when the first iPhone came out. You could take this letter, replace Google Glass with iPhone, and have sent it out 4 years ago. Are we seeing anything really different? Do we need Congress involved?
I was thinking what you were thinking, Tom. It seems like it's a rehash of what we've seen with phones because that's what we have phones that will make noises when you take photos. It's also very obvious when you're taking photos with a phone or a camera or anything for that matter. It's not like telephoto lenses have been outlawed or something because you can take a photo of somebody from very far away. I don't even know I'm being spied on because it's so far away. With Google Glass and having a little light that turns on, our laptops have had that for a while. Cameras have had it for a long time. Then again, that's a hackable device. If you want to be able to turn that light off, I'm pretty sure you could figure that out and record things. So maybe people have this freak out moment because in theory, you're wearing glass all the time, everywhere. But when you're out in public, Your privacy expectation should be pretty dang low because you're being watched anyway.
Yeah, you're being recorded anyways,
right.
whether it's through glass or not.
Yeah, I just believe that there's a panic because there's a company as powerful as Google behind it that has collected data by accident a couple of times that's causing a freak out. And maybe that's why Congress might not necessarily be looking at other companies so much as Google because they're really good at collecting data.
Maybe it is warranted. I don't know. Sarah, are you worried?
I have no expectation of privacy. In fact, I'm just like, everything's public. I give up. But I think the bigger question is sort of like, okay, well, then what? If I can tell that Jason is recording me as two citizens out on the street, then what do I do? You know, am I going to eventually have some sort of, you know, citizen's arrest type of a thing where I can say, I demand that you stop doing that? You know, it's kind of like if we have legislation in place, then what? How does it change the behavior of people who have this technology? Because to me, Google Glass is a much more convenient version of recording something on my phone and pretending that I'm not.
Yeah, I'm hoping that people will have, you know, some faith and some respect whenever they are wearing Google Glass, myself included, if I eventually get some, to not record people and to tell people ahead of time, hey, can I put this on the internet? Or, hey, I just took a picture of you. Can I, you know, stream it to my Google Plus or what have you? And there's a lot of trust in that. And there's a lot of issues that goes into that trust.
Bigger problem will be Google Contacts. Then we won't be able to tell they're wearing. Let's talk about the CW being the first channel to bring an app to Apple TV.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. So, yeah, lots of TV streaming news this week. We have an ABC, we have TNT, TBS, and the CW Network at their upfront announced it's bringing an app to the super closed-off set-top box, the Apple TV. It's very strange. Full streaming episodes available the day after they air on the CW. The episodes are available for free. No authentication needed. You don't need to have a cable subscription. You don't need to have a satellite subscription. You just need to be able to launch the app. CW already has ad-supported streaming on Android, iOS, Windows. On the web, you can see stuff. CW content, though, is also available on Hulu Plus and Hulu, Xbox 360. But obviously, to watch them on a TV, you have to pay some money. Hulu's $8 a month. 360 requires live for online content. Shannon, do you think the Apple TV is going to open up to more television apps, or is this just an oddity that's going on?
Well, I don't have an Apple TV, but I really do hope that they open up to more. With respect to CW, they've been doing open, not having to authenticate yourself as a cable subscriber. They've been doing that for quite a few years. I do Bike Club with Eileen, and on that show we have to watch The Vampire Diaries, which is on CW. So, and since I don't have cable, I watch it on my iPad, and I don't have to do anything kind of authentication. So I would really like to see Apple TV bring in some more different channels, because that would be very useful to myself.
Speaking of CW shows, it's got 90210, Arrow, Gossip Girl, Supernatural, Vampire Diaries.
Yep.
Engadget commenter Michael D. says, CW rots your brain with teeny, emo, angsty crap. I actually feel kind of bad. I'm kind of sorry for iOS users, which is saying a lot. Sarah, you're a cord cutter and an Apple TV user. You're not an angsty teen. What do you think?
You say this to me every day. Sarah, you're the cord cutter of the group. What's your opinion?
It's a drinking game.
I think that... is it? Oh, cool. All right. Everybody drink.
It is now.
Have a drink.
Sarah, you're a cord cutter.
Yep. Sure am, Ayaz. I think that this is extremely interesting, especially when you compare this to Hulu Plus. I pay for Hulu Plus. The CW is just one channel where I can get content after the fact on Hulu Plus, but I'm paying for it. If this is a free app on my Apple TV, which is alongside the Hulu Plus app, which I use via my Apple TV, what's going on with my Apple TV? Could you recreate the Hulu Plus experience somehow? But, you know, with deals between Apple and these networks.
Oh, you totally can.
That are, I mean, it sort of seems like that's what's going on here.
AirPlay it from your iPad.
Right, or all of a sudden, all of these shows have their own apps on Apple TV, and I don't need to pay for Hulu anymore. And all of a sudden, my Apple TV is the new Hulu Plus. I don't know.
Tom, do you think it's odd that this is the CW, which is partially owned by CBS? There was this report where Les Moonves was talking about Apple TV getting CBS content, but that deal fell apart. This company is partially owned by CBS. Do you think there's going to be...
It's actually 100% operated by CBS. It's partially owned by Warner Brothers,
okay,
but it's part of the CBS Corporation. So yes, very interesting to see that, because when I was at CNET and CBS owned CNET, they kept talking about authentication. As long as we can authenticate, we want to authenticate our viewers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is why they weren't part of Hulu. So allowing their sub-channel to just say, like, hey, we're just going to go put it up, I think is an acknowledgement of the demographic of the CW. And you make jokes about the fact that it's teeny stuff. It's teeny stuff for a reason, because they serve that audience. That audience is not buying cable. So it's very smart, in my opinion, for CW to say, let's put our shows up in as many places as possible to get these people who aren't going to watch on television. And I haven't looked into that, but I would expect that CW would then work very closely with Nielsen to make sure that all of these apps get rolled into Nielsen's new digital effort to provide ratings for online streamed shows so that they can sell ads across all these platforms.
I'm very intrigued. I mean, a lot of people are saying CW is on other avenues. You can get it on Hulu Plus. You can get it on Xbox.
You can get it everywhere.
But those things cost money to put on TV. This is the intriguing part to me, that you can have a set-top box that has CW content for free, that's not a computer. Because I've done this a lot with my Media Center PC. But this, to me, is more intriguing, the fact that you pay once for this box, you get this content for free, and if they do track you like they're supposed to for advertising, that'd be great for them. So it could be interesting to see if other companies will follow suit, assuming CW does a decent job with their Apple TV app.
All right, let's talk about poor EA. Actually, it's poor Nintendo, not poor EA. EA is the one saying, we don't have any games in development for the Wii U currently. And everyone freaked out because during the run of the Wii, they may have been late to the party, but EA was always developing games. So it doesn't mean that EA won't develop any more games from the Wii U, but it is significant that they don't have any right now. Take-Two is not promising GTA 5 for the Wii U. Call of Duty Ghosts, not announced for the Wii U, but you can pre-order it for the other platforms, so it's conspicuous by its absence there. Ubisoft is bringing major Rayman and Assassin's Creed games to the Wii U, so it's not like the Wii U is bereft. They also previewed upcoming releases today that they'll be showing off at Best Buys around the country during E3, things like Sonic the Lost World, which also coming to 3DS, new version of Super Luigi available as downloadable content or standalone, Mario and Sonic Winter games, also Yakuza 1 and Yakuza 2 coming to the Wii U in August. So there are games, but it's a significant publisher saying, we're not coming. That's bad PR. At the same time, now Nintendo has a little fight over content ID on YouTube, because suddenly everybody with Wii U footage or Nintendo game footage got taken down off YouTube. Nintendo went and said, oh, okay, maybe that was a mistake, but they're going to add advertisements to them, which has now angered a bunch of people. Nintendo fighting a bad PR battle. If you had to pick, Shannon, which do you think is worse? The fact that EA is not publishing anything right now for Nintendo, or the fact that everyone is just building up this hatred, even some of their own fans?
Oh, probably the hatred part, because even I haven't bought a Nintendo Wii U, and I'm like a Super Nintendo fangirl. So it's pretty upsetting to see that, you know, not only EA has not shared any of their games on Wii U, but also that people like me haven't bought one. It's just kind of sad.
It's not just you, right? The sales figures have been bad. In fact, even Blizzard Activision in their earnings call mentioned the slow sales of the Wii U as one of their worries, not for Blizzard particularly, but for Activision games in general. Sarah, this obviously is not good news. What do you think about Nintendo and their future?
Well, I mean, if you sort of like parse what the spokesperson from EA told Kotaku, it's like, well, we don't have any games in development right now, but we're not saying that we're never going to develop. So we're saying there's a chance. But then you've got Shannon here saying, I am a Nintendo fan. Yeah. I like Nintendo products. I have not bought a Wii U. I mean, what is the reason? Because you just don't think it's a good enough product? Because that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
If people who love Nintendo say, it's still not worth it for me, Nintendo's in deep doo-doo.
Yeah, there's not enough games available for it right now. There's not a new Zelda game, as far as I believe, yet. So, and that's a big one for me, is there's no new Zelda game. And also just because I recently got a new Wii, because my first one broke. So I just got a new one for Christmas, and I'm probably going to stick with that for several years until I have a reason to buy this Wii U.
One of the death knells of Sega as a console maker was the fact that they didn't get games made for the Dreamcast. Is there a parallel here?
Absolutely there is. Nintendo is... they're on their way to become a software company, because there's no – if you lose EA, unless you start paying EA to make you games, which is something that EA might be saying, yeah, we're open to something in the future. If Nintendo pays us, we'll do this. There is no way EA is going to put people on a console that people aren't buying, especially with the two next-generation consoles coming up and both running on x86. So developing for the PS4 should be pretty easy, because that's what Sony's been trying to do. Xbox, a little bit more restrictive. But the Wii U, totally different architecture that apparently nobody's buying. So when Mario comes to the PlayStation 4, it'll be, I think, about 2 years.
Oh, no. God,
that's so sad.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Okay, maybe it'll be a trading card company again.
I don't think 2 years. That's crazy
two
talk.
Years.
All right. I think maybe 5 years. I think Nintendo could still pull this out. I think they could still turn this around. It doesn't look good for them, but this company is... I would give this company a little more credit than
life moves pretty fast, Tom.
Internet time.
Yeah.
You don't stop and look around once in a while. Nintendo goes out of business.
Let's take a look at BlackBerry.
Speaking of going out of business. No, I'm just kidding.
They're farther down than Nintendo, right?
Yeah, okay. I actually chose this story partly because somebody on Twitter the other day said, you know what, you guys just need to do your research before you trash talk BlackBerry again. And I thought, maybe you have a point. There is a research note sent out to investors yesterday from Raymond James analyst Tavis McCourt, who says BlackBerry market share is on the rise. The market share was just 6% in Canada. So we're looking at that country of Canada in the fourth quarter of 2012 and is now at 13.5% in the first quarter of 2013. So, hey, look at that. The percentages are doubling. Obviously, analysts believe this is because BlackBerry has new handsets. We got the Z10. You got the Q10. People are interested. It's getting good feedback. But there's still a long way to go. According to the analyst, BlackBerry had a 21.8% market share in the first quarter of 2011. So still a long way from where it was just a couple of years ago when we were already talking about the decline of BlackBerry, then called RIM. And then, you know, we've got the Windows Phone story from yesterday, which displaced BlackBerry for the number three spot worldwide. Then again, Canada numbers, they look pretty positive. Shannon, do you think that Canada, of course, it's you've probably got more BlackBerry loyalists there than perhaps anywhere else in the world. I don't know, because at least the headquarters are there. Do you think that Canada can sort of pave the way for the resurgence of BlackBerry love?
I love you, Canada, but no.
No?
Well, I mean, Canada being the increase right here is surprising to me. Just given on Before You Buy, we reviewed the, I believe it was the Q10?
The Z10, the touchscreen one,
yeah. And there were so many issues with the software that we didn't necessarily like, having to click several times to get through it. But with that said, the new hardware is really, really cool. It's really nice. It's really fluent. And it's very beautiful. I'm still surprised that they've gotten an increase in Canada. Do Canadians have a big market with Androids as well? Like, do they get as many phones as we do?
I'm not sure what the market penetration is for like Samsung with their Android devices.
Yeah,
in there.
Exactly.
But since Canada is a nationalism story. I mean, we've seen this happen with Nintendo in Japan, actually, and Sony in Japan. Mm-hmm. They do very well there because that's the homegrown company. But BlackBerry's Canada's pride, right? It's supposed to be a big deal there. But it, like you were saying, the hardware's really nice. And that software update that just came out probably will make the Z10 better.
I hope so.
But I think that their biggest move during that BlackBerry Live conference was talking about being cross-platform with BlackBerry Messenger, getting people on board with their services, having BlackBerry Enterprise services on top of that. Because if they just say, we make phones and you should use our phones, it's locked to our phones, that's silly. That's disregarding the reality of the phone market right now. I think that they're actually hedging their bets very well at this point. A much better position than they were a couple of years ago.
Yes.
With those two CEOs at one time. Looks like they have an actual direction, and it might be more in services, and they also make phones.
What do you think, Tom? Do you think the interest in BlackBerry being on the rise in Canada makes much of a difference, or should we be looking at penetration in India and China and other emerging markets?
Yeah, I think you have to. Well, I think it's not a bad thing, but you're right. You've got to look at worldwide market share. The fact that they sold millions of Z10s, I think, is actually the more important thing here for BlackBerry. I do think that BlackBerry is turning it around. They're later into their turnaround than Nokia was. So I still think by the end of this year that BlackBerry is going to be turning around and Nokia is going to be in trouble.
All right. It's a show of predictions today.
Let's move on to the randomizer.
Who will survive?
Randomizer. Do you feel lucky? Pixum Ipsum is going to replace your web text with quotes from Hollywood legends. There's a ton of services like this out there, but this is one of the ones that is in the news today. The Next Web had a story about it today. You go to the website, and you're able to just pick your favorite, Jim Carrey, Clint Eastwood, Morgan Freeman. You pick them, and then you're able to create a block of text based on their quotes.
Well, the whole point of the whole lorem ipsum thing is to see text that you're not paying attention to because you're supposed to be looking at the design of your page or the design of whatever you're doing. Isn't this going to distract you when you're like, oh, that's a funny quote, instead of you actually doing your dang job, which is checking the layout?
Yes.
I say this because I've done enough web design where I've done enough lorem ipsum nonsense. Whereas I would probably get distracted because you are coding all day and you're just like, oh, that's funny.
I'm okay with this. I mean, who doesn't like Morgan Freeman? I'm totally cool with having him on my blog.
What a jerk. Just the worst. God, no, I'm kidding. He's wonderful.
You're right, Ayaz. This is totally going to waste my time, but I'm okay with that.
Hey, why not? The coders need some entertainment. I think that this is wonderful.
Sarah, but they are rebuilt. Heroes die, but they are remembered. I don't sound anything like Morgan Freeman. This just shows it's not the words. It's the Morgan Freeman.
Well, you could just have Morgan Freeman read you the Lorem Ipsum stuff. That would be amazing. That should be done. Somebody make him record it. Jason, do it.
Do you think March of the Penguins would have been interesting at all without Morgan Freeman? No.
It's not about
those penguins.
It's not?
It's about that voice.
The voice of
Freeman. Are you a penguin? Let's move to the calendar.
Before it gets any weirder. The NVIDIA Shield pre-orders start today. It will be shipping in June for $349. And the Razer Aatrox Arcade Stick for Xbox 360 is also starting pre-orders on May 21st. So that is next Tuesday.
That's the day the Xbox announcement is happening, and yet they're going to put their new arcade stick up. I guess they figure everybody will be thinking about Xbox that day.
It'll be an Xbox day.
I suppose that's smart. Let's see what's incoming.
Incoming message.
We got a message from George. He says, "Hi, guys. I was listening to you guys talk about Pebble, and I am one of the backers. I've been wearing my Pebble and love the watch. The reason I love it is because when I'm talking to somebody and a call comes in, I can decide whether to accept the call. Now I know I can just pull out my smartphone and look at it. Well, in my profession, seeing patients in the office, that would be rude. With the Pebble, I just keep my smartphone on vibrate in my pocket and then can decide whether to take the call or not based on the Pebble's notification. Similarly, I can receive important SMS messages on the watch face. In the future, I would like to see other innovations like Facebook notifications, etc., show up on the watch face. If Pebble can replace my pager with notifications appearing on the watch face instead, that would be even better. Love the show."
George has stated what I have heard as the advantage to the smartwatch.
I'm waiting.
I'm still waiting.
I'm waiting. Yeah, it's not pretty enough for this wrist right here, and it's just not worth the money quite yet for me.
But thank you, George, for representing on the side of the people that want the smartwatch. We appreciate it. TNT@twit.tv. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Shannon Morris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. Anytime. I'm happy to help.
Before you buy, Hack 5, so much going on in your life.
And Bike Club Show.
How do people follow you? And Bike Club Show. That's true.
Right, you can find me. I'm on Twitter at Snubs, S-N-U-B-S, not S-N-U-B-B-S. Even though bulletin board systems are awesome.
You should get that too while you're at it.
You should get the Snubs BBS. The
Snubs. That would be super fun.
And Len Peralta.
Yes.
Quiet competence in the background on today's show. If you're not on the video episode, you might want to go check it out. Great illustrations today, my friend.
Can you
flip through them?
Yeah, I can. The first one, I'm going to go backwards here. This is the Canadian story, which
so
is
cute.
The BlackBerry. Poor little Canadian guy.
Hey, he's a Molson.
I'm going to do this one here. We did the story about the CW. Which I know you guys like the CW, but I just, you know, who knew the CW was a thing?
Watch Arrow.
I know Arrow. I know. I'm going to.
We all watch America's Next Top Model here. I know that.
And then the Wii U story. I feel so bad for EA, but I did this kind of a variation on that one, so, thing, which is kind of sad. I feel bad for Nintendo, but what are you going to do?
Who knew the Wii U was a thing?
That's why they send messages to everybody.
This is the Google privacy image
awesome.
That I did here, which I think is interesting.
That's how Google is for me. They're just peeking in the window like that.
Larry
all the time.
Looks like, yeah.
And then this is the story about all the apps coming to the Google Glass, which, you know, and all those new notifications and things like that.
He looks
and
tired.
I'm sorry?
He looks tired.
He does. Well, his eyes are...
A lot of info.
Yeah.
He's a lot of info. Too much going on.
Not bloodshot. Google's
true. And then Yahoo buying Tumblr, possibly.
get it, because they're clowns.
Tumbling, tumbling. Nice. Yahoo!
That's a screenshot.
So I'll leave it up to the crowd if they want to see some of this stuff available. I can put this stuff as a little print up on my online store at... Peraltartsy.shopify.com. And also, Peraltarts. You know, if if people like this, then maybe they can, you know, I'll leave it up to the people. If this is a thing that they want to see happen again, then I'd be happy to come back if you guys will have me.
How do they let you know?
They can tweet me at Len Peralta on Twitter, and that's the best way to get in touch with me.
Absolutely. Well, we're definitely going to have you back. This is yeah, really I love fun. This. And I can tell it's people great. In the chat room are really digging it. So
awesome.
Check out Len Peralta on Twitter, lenperalta.com, and Peraltartsy, right? Yeah. Peraltartsy.com?
Yes, peraltartsy.myshopify.com.
MyShopify.com. That is it for this episode of Tech News Today. If you would like to participate in other ways, you can submit stories and vote on them at technewstoday.reddit.com. Submit best of moments, things you thought were amazing or fun or need to be preserved for our end of the year special for any show on Twit, twit.tv/best of. We are available on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnttwit.tv, or give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW. Dan Patterson joins us on Monday. We'll see you then.